This is AgriPulse Daybreak West for Tuesday, August 27th, brought to you by Rabo AgriFinance. Good morning, I'm Jeff Daly. Here's today's headlines. Ag sets its own milfie. Fruit fly eradicated. And USDA updating ag trade outlook. Newsom signs bill to raise milfie, but not that milfie. Yesterday, Governor Gavin Newsom signed SB 1522 into law to increase a mill assessment. Unlike the contentious mill fee on pesticides, however, this proposal came from agriculture. SB 1522 deals with sales tax on fertilizer products to fund CDFA's registration process. Throughout the legislative session, lawmakers have stressed the industry was behind the fee adjustment. Western Plant Health and the Biotechnology Innovation Organization supported the bill. The aim was to adjust the mill and avoid the sluggish pace for enacting regulations through CDFA. According to a policy committee analysis, the traditional regulatory approach takes more than a year to complete and, quote, utilizes significant staff resources and presents a lengthy and time-consuming process for program personnel and CDFA legal staff. CDFA's Fertilizing Inspections Advisory Board charges that the prohibitive process, quote, does not let the department react quickly enough to the economic trends of the fertilizer industry. Western Plant Health believes that the SB 1522 will enhance CDFA's operations and encourage the use of new fertilizer advancements that will strengthen the department's Healthy Soils program. California celebrates invasive fruit fly eradication. U.S. Department of Agriculture leaders are joining CDFA to celebrate the end of several fruit fly outbreaks in California, which resulted in quarantines over the last year. The series of outbreaks was the worst of its kind in 70 years, with new species introduced to the state, such as the Tao fruit fly. Representatives from USDA and CDFA will join local ag commissioners and farm leaders in Culver City to watch a detector canine demonstrate to better understand their involvement in the eradication strategy. Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack allocated funds from the Commodity Credit Corporation to address outbreaks of animal and plant pests and diseases last December. Of that, $104 million went directly to help resolve California and other states' invasive fruit fly outbreaks. The fruit fly removal was a collaborative effort between the USDA Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service, CDFA, and local counties to survey, trap, and treat areas under quarantine, in addition to taking measures to prevent future spread. That's why the education of airports and other points of entry is really important. USDA Marketing and Regulatory Programs Undersecretary Jenny Lester Moffitt told AgriPulse, "The way that we got there was because we worked very closely together. We were quick. Everyone worked as one team and made it happen." We'll have more AgriPulse Daybreak West after this.
When you work with Rabo AgriFinance, you get the global knowledge and financial strength of one of the world's largest and most innovative food and ag lenders, tools essential to realizing your aspirations. Discover how an unmatched network of local and sector experts can help you confront agriculture's challenges and seize the opportunities that lie ahead. Learn more and contact us at www.raboag.com. Creating value, connecting vision. Rabo AgriFinance.
Welcome back to AgriPulse Daybreak West. H-2A worker protections blocked in 17 states. The Labor Department's attempt to protect farm workers from retaliation for union organizing has been blocked in 17 states after a federal judge deemed it unconstitutional yesterday. U.S. District Judge Lisa Godby Wood said the rule issued in April conflicts with the National Labor Relations Act. She enjoined its implementation in Florida, Georgia, South Carolina, Louisiana, Arkansas, Kansas, Idaho, Indiana, Iowa, Missouri, Montana, Nebraska, North Dakota, Oklahoma, Tennessee, Texas, and Virginia. The other plaintiffs it cannot be enforced against are Miles Berry Farm in Baxley, Georgia, and the Georgia Fruit and Vegetable Growers Association. You can read our full report at agripulse.com. U.S. Department of Agriculture to update Ag Trade Outlook. The USDA is due out today with its quarterly forecast for U.S. agricultural trade. We'll be watching the trends in exports and the size of the growing trade deficit. Now, the May Ag Trade Outlook forecast U.S. agriculture exports for fiscal 24, which ends September 30, at $170.5 billion. Imports for FY24 estimated at $202.5 billion. The May update also had China dropping to third place behind Mexico and Canada among the top U.S. export markets. Now keep in mind, there are many reasons for the deficit, including falling market prices for key exported commodities such as corn and soybeans. But any increase in that deficit is going to provide new ammunition for GOP critics who say the Biden administration isn't doing enough to open new markets for U.S. farm products. EPA says it will complete the rodenticide evaluations in November. EPA has affirmed it plans to release a final evaluation of the impacts on endangered species of four rodenticides in November. That timing would comply with a court agreement reached last year with the Center for Biological Diversity. The commitment, which is part of developing a rodenticide strategy, was made in a status report filed by the agency yesterday. EPA recently finalized a herbicide strategy outlining ways producers can minimize the effects of herbicides on listed plants and animals in their habitat. It also issued a draft insecticide strategy in July. Also from EPA, the agency is holding a webinar on Wednesday for people interested in joining its Farm, Ranch, and Rural Communities Advisory Committee. Wisconsin Senator urges USTR to fight EU on product names. In a letter that is being sent today, Senator Tammy Baldwin of Wisconsin is urging the Office of the U.S. Trade Representative to create a comprehensive policy protecting U.S. exporters' ability to use product names like Parmesan, Chateau, and Bologna amid concerns about the European Union's attempts to influence labeling of these products internationally. In the letter, Baldwin applauds a recent agreement between USTR and the Chilean government, which allows U.S. products to use these food names when selling their products. As we've unfortunately seen from multiple European Union trade agreements now, geographical indication restrictions on common food and beverage names have veered far off from their intellectual property system origins and now operate in global markets as market access, non-tariff trade barriers. Baldwin writes, the U.S. must treat them as such. Well, that's Daybreak West for this Tuesday, August 27th, brought to you by Rabo AgriFinance. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak West, I'm Jeff Daly.